Welcome to the Newman Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Newman. How are you? I was glad when they said, what? Let's go. Say, let's go to the house of the Lord. So cool. You know what's really, really cool? Melbourne, Victoria, is back in real time. You got an extra hour's sleep this morning. And most of you took two by the look of the time you arrived. So, what, too soon? I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God. I was really glad, and I was particularly thrilled that I was able to fly down this morning rather than last night. I love you a lot, but you know who I love more than you? My grandkids. And yesterday, I took a wildlife warrior to Australia Zoo for his 7th birthday. Oh, yeah. I'm good to my grandkids because they're ultimately going to pick my old people's home. And so I'm sowing it early. And it was really, really cool. Lynn says hi. She's praying for us today. And we want to say a massive hello to everybody in every other Newman location that is joining us this morning. Melbourne City, greet the rest of the family today. Absolutely magnificent. We're going to pray and then we're going to open the Word of God. And I believe God wants to speak to each of us and all of us. Amen? So Lord, we don't have to beg for your presence. You're already here. You promised it. Two or three of us gather, you're going to come. When we praise you, you're enthroned. So we sense you already here. And I speak your blessing over every location. Over every location, pastor and their leadership team and every person that's walked into one of our family gatherings today. And our prayer is, come Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, take the words on a page, take the words from our lips and cause them to become life. Help us, Lord, not only hear but live what you say to your church today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tell somebody nearby how much you appreciate them before you grab your seat. All across Newman. Fantastic. It's good to see you. If we've never met, as Pastor Ali just said, my name is Wayne Alcorn, and I am your almost invisible senior pastor. I'm not here often, not on a Sunday, but Newman Church is very much in my diary, in my prayer life, in my heart, and we're engaging at every level of church life right now. Location pastors are meeting with me every week, every team, every level of governance. We're beginning to see God do some great things. And I'm very excited. This grand historic church, which turns 100 this year, we're gonna have the party to end all parties in the end of this year. And I'm gonna tell you, I just am so excited. So I'm already talking to the team about what that could look like, and we're even going to have cake. All right, 100 years of serving Jesus, planting churches, doing mission. We've got a great story. And I'm here to report that in this year, which we are calling the Year of Restoration, a year that I've been invited to be a covering pastor. I have a job. I lead a church called Hope Center, which has other ministries from our multi-site in Southeast Queensland. We have ministries in Darwin and Alice Springs, but I was invited by your leadership at the end of last year to come and journey with you in a season of renewal and restoration. I'm here to tell you that we are making progress. I'm here to tell you that God is good. He loves his church, and you're going to see more and more of God's goodness And that's why I'm really pleased that locations are joining with us. I can't be present everywhere, but every location of Pneuma Church is getting me speak today, either live or we've already pre-recorded a message, this message. Because I believe if you've got ears, you need to hear what the Spirit's saying to the church. And so I'm thrilled to see the buy-in. I'm thrilled to see the unity. I'm thrilled to see a new level of cooperation. And I've realized in life, you're either part of the answer or part of the problem. So I'm going to be part of the answer. And I'm inviting you into that. And we've all had different opinions about the last year or two or three or four or five or whatever. Maybe you've had the opinions about the last 35. Can we lay it down and say, you know what? The Lord is doing a new thing. Hey, man, he's really, really old, but he keeps doing new things. And he's doing a new thing in the church. And what he's doing right now is bringing us into a new place of joy, of faith, of unity, of grace, and of love for one another. And a love for his word, which we're going to open today to Psalm 77. We're going to do something radical. By the morning, time the morning's out, we're going to have read a whole psalm. It's not Psalm 119, so you'll get some lunch. It's Psalm 77. We're going to read it together. But as you're turning to there, how many people actually brought a paper Bible to church? Paper's making a comeback, people. I love it. There's something about having a paper Bible because you know something's in the book of Romans. It's up in the top right-hand corner. You can't do that on your iPad, your iPhone, or your iLid. You can do it on paper, and it's really cool. So if you're in the habit of it, and you know what's really cool? You walk down the street with one of these, you get a different kind of look from people. Come on, we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors for the King. So bring it if you can. And we're going to open it. But I also want to say one other important thing is that we have an AGM for this church on Wednesday night, April 16. If you're a member or you're not a member, but you're very interested in what God is doing in this place and what he's going to continue to do, you are welcome. You're welcome to come and join with us. Here's one of my great themes of leadership. Just be open. Just walk transparent, okay? And when you're transparent, people realize you're not perfect. People realize your stuff's not perfect, but we can actually go, you know what, that's not perfect, but we can walk together and we can keep walking towards God's best. So come on out, come with an open heart, and let's pray together as we journey. And I think we've got online possibilities for those of you that are further afield, but let's just come and keep praying and believing. Pray for me. I need it, all right? It's a very, very full life at the moment. I'm enjoying it. I thank God for adrenaline. It's amazing. I thank God for you. But you know what? We still got a journey. We still got a job to do. And so keep praying for each other and believe that God's going to do some great things. So AGM, we'll be able to report on the progress we are making, and we'll be able to forecast some things which we believe in God are going to happen together. Psalm 77. One of the questions I'm often asked by people who are followers of Jesus, and even some who aren't, is this: where was God when I went through that tough patch? Where was God in that dark moment of my life or our family? Well, today we're going to open the Bible, and maybe you're somebody that's asked that question. Maybe you're somebody that's still asking that question. I realize in a gathering like this, whether you're in the north or the west or the south, wherever you're gathering today, you may be asking that question right now. Well, maybe as we open this psalm, we can begin to unpack some of the answers to that question. Psalm 77, it's broken into three parts. I'm going to read the first nine verses, because as you see the start of this psalm written by a guy called Asaph — it's not one of David's psalms, it's Asaph wrote this psalm — in it, he begins to talk about the pressures of life. I was reading the news on the way down, and I'm seeing the effect of the tariffs that were introduced by the president of the USA and what it's done to the stock markets and what people are saying and how people are responding. I read another article about how young people are finding it very, very difficult to not only get their own property, but even to get a rental because of the cost of living. And on and on and I go, and I thought, society is really feeling pressures. And guess what? We are, I know we're not of the world, but we're in the world and we live under the pressures of life. Asaph, thousands of years ago, was going through the same emotional challenges that you and I are. Maybe even the last season of life in your family. Maybe even this last season in the life of this church has been for you maybe a little challenging. Where was God in all this? Perhaps you can relate to this psalmist. Listen to him. He begins to talk about how the things have affected him. He says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in his anger withheld his compassion? And we know that Asaph's not in a good way. Situations that he found himself in were affecting him in every area of his life, body, soul, and spirit. You and I are three-part beings created in the image of a three-part God. And Asaph was experiencing the effects of the pressures of his current season. Physically, he couldn't sleep. Perhaps you're somebody that really has trouble with sleep and you can relate to this. I don't have problems sleeping. It's a gift. I have to live on a lot of planes. I've got to fly into some crazy time zones and it's a gift. I fly long haul with Lynn. I go to sleep. I wake up. I'm awake. I turn to Lynn and go, how good was that? I slept to her. She says, I have watched 4 movies. Pray for her. It's not easy when you can't sleep. Life's a little more difficult. Emotionally, he feels overwhelmed. And spiritually, he feels like, God, we're so distant. Where are you? Where were you? He thinks he's been cut off. Perhaps you've been there. I know I have. Difficult seasons of my life. We're sharing with Pastor Dave coming in this morning about, 7 years ago, 2018, was a very, very challenging year in my life. Been through a number of seasons where it's been tough, but that one was the big one. 3 very, very close family members, including my mother, had died. Other things had happened. We'd been through a number of issues in the ministry, some spiritual stuff that I couldn't even explain was going on, and it was really troubling. And let me tell you, it's very hard to separate how you feel physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Somehow they interweave. That's why, before we criticize our leaders, we should pray for them. I was actually reading an article on the flight down, and somebody referenced the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, maybe one of the great preachers ever, phenomenal preacher. And he was asked often, Spurgeon, why do you think you've been so successful in ministry? Without even blinking, he said, easy, because my people pray for me. Let's be people that pray for people even when we don't fully know what's going on. I'm grateful for people that have prayed for me. I love sport. And I've noticed that no matter what sporting match you go to, the experts are always in the grandstand. There's more noise from the people watching the game than from the people playing the game. That's why I ask you to pray for me. That's why I ask you to pray for your location pastors and the team that are trying to serve in the different areas of church life. We need your prayers because stuff is challenging at times. And the more you're on the front line, the more you face some spiritual attack. Asaph was in the middle of it. Man of God, but he was facing all kinds of stuff that he couldn't quite process. And sadly, today, we meet people that in the middle of their challenge, they turn to the wrong things to somehow help them cope. And those things that, if they're not of God, they end up being things that can cause them even greater damage. And thousands of years ago, this guy Asaph, he's experiencing all of these negative emotions and the side effects that follow it. And he's spiraling down and down and down. He can't sleep. He's emotionally down. Spiritually, he feels like God is cut off until he changes the focus of his life. Until. Verse 10, read with me. Then I thought, this is amazing. He's a male and he had a thought. They don't come easy, ladies. Be kind to us. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. Say right hand. In every location, say right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. I want you to notice, he's going down, 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 down until he stops himself. And he shifts the focus of his life off his problems and onto the answer. We continue to look down. I gotta tell you, the more you look down, the more you'll go down. The more you begin to lift your eyes up, from whence comes my help, the psalmist says. I begin to look to him, and guess what? I begin to get caught in the upstream of his power and his majesty, and he's the answer to my problems. And he begins to take a hold of himself. He says, hang on a minute, Asaph. You're not gonna have a pity party. How many know there's only room for one at a pity party? Don't send out invitations. No one's going to RSVP. Asaph says, I'm not going to have a pity party. I've been caught in the doldrums for too long. I'm going to discipline my life and I'm going to make some quality decisions. Let me tell you something. You cannot change yesterday. You can only change tomorrow based on decisions you make today. We can't change yesterday in this church. We got some things that are amazing. We got some things that obviously aren't always amazing. But we can't change that, but we can change our future based on things we decide today. Somebody say amen. Asaph made some decisions. He says, you know what? Look at what he says. Three times he uses the word, I will. He says, I will appeal to what? I will appeal to the years when the Lord stretched out his right hand. That's why we focus, right? His right hand is his hand of power. His right hand is his hand of favor. Every one of us have experienced his right hand coming and laying it on us and changing our lives from the inside out. You don't think you're living in favor? Take a trip to the Gaza Strip. You don't think you're living in favor? Go to some of the impoverished nations of the world. You and I are blessed. The fish doesn't know it's wet, and many of us don't know we're blessed. Asaph says, hang on, I'm going to appeal. That's right. God is good. He's healed me. He's saved me. He's renewed me. He's put his Holy Ghost in me. Oh, yeah. He says, I will remember. I'll remember your miracles. Those things you performed in the past. There's a great song we're singing around at the moment. He says, you're the same God. The same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that raised dead from back to life, you're the same God. I love what he said to Malachi. It's not Malachi, he's not Italian, he was a Jew. Malachi. You know what he said to Malachi? He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And the writer of Hebrews takes us in chapter 13, he said of Jesus, he is the same. Say it with me, yesterday, today, and forever. And so Asaph says, oh, hang on a minute. Stuff's changing, but he doesn't. My world is in a bit of a whirlspin, but he is the rock. He changes not. And some of us today need to get our eyes off the staff and get it onto the king. Come on. That's the key. That's the key to stay to starting the reverse of the cycle. Send it back up. And he said, oh, hang on. I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to meditate. Meditate. I love that. Look at verse 12. I will meditate. I'll consider all your works and I will meditate on all your mighty deeds. I'm a kid that grew up in the bush. Seen a lot of cows in my day. Ever driven past a field and you see cows, they're doing this. Right? It's not breath freshener. Far from it. What they do, They got all these stomachs. There'd be a veterinarian somewhere in the family today. I'll tell you all about it. And they eat their food, and then it's gross. They bring it up and put it in the next stomach. And then, for fun, they do it again. And they keep moving. You know why? They're getting all the nutrients out of what they've taken in. That's why a lot of us don't make enough progress spiritually. We skim through the Bible. We read a couple of verses. We even, some of us, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year. Okay, do you know what it says? No, I'm just reading it. No, don't just read, meditate. Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow, pick the Bible up and remember the cow. Do whatever you can to process. Say, Lord, what are you saying to me? This is an amazing book. It's the only book on the planet that promises every time you open it, the author will turn up. So come on, open it, see what he's saying, and then, oh God, how can I live this today? I don't just want to be a hearer, I want to be a doer. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to let it get deep into my life. He spoke to himself. Some of us need to have a good conversation with ourselves. I'm finding as the decades roll on, I'm talking to myself a lot more than I used to. Where's my keys? Where are my keys? Sometimes when I get one of those phone calls, I say to myself out loud, it matters, but not that much. I'm not going to let it touch my soul. Asaph has a conversation with himself. Just like David did in Psalm 103. How many love Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He's having a conversation with himself. He said, hey, hang on a minute. And David was on the run from the enemy at that point in time. You talk about going through tough times. He said, hang on, you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let me tell you what he does. He heals my body. He forgives my sin. He lifts myself out of a pit. He puts me in high places. He crowns me with his goodness. That's my God. So stop looking at all the negative stuff. I want to lead a community of people that aren't going to spend forever looking at all the negative stuff. Underwhelming response. I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I'm going to look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of my faith. Come on. I'm going to start speaking to myself. Say, come on. Here's the deal. What you behold, you become. That's why the writer, I got the scripture for you. Here's what it says in Paul writing, 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate, or the New King James says, behold, the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Behold him. That's why we're encouraged in Scripture. Oh, magnify. Say magnify. Come on, every location, say it. Magnify. You know what you do when you magnify? My quirky little grandson who wanted to go to the zoo yesterday is right into wildlife. So we give him things like magnifying glasses. You know what he does? He makes it all bigger. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. He make him bigger. Not he is already big. We serve a big God. Hey, but make him bigger in your heart. Make him bigger in your mind than your circumstance. Too many Christians, how you doing? Well, I'm okay under the circumstances. Well, get out from under the circumstance. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You've been made more than a conqueror. Come on, behold him. You start beholding all the problems, you start becoming the problem yourself. You start looking at all the dark stuff, you start to get dark in your soul. That's why young men, listen to me, particularly, you need to be careful what you watch on a screen. Because the spirit of that thing gets on you. And you start to become transformed into it. It shapes your life. What you behold, you become. That's why worship's such a powerful thing. It says, okay, had a difficult week. I'm going to take my eyes off what happened at work. I'm going to take my eyes off what happened in that situation. Because that's all problem. I'm going to lift my eyes up. I'm going to behold the magnificence of my King. And I'm going to read the rest of the psalm because this gets really cool. He started out so dark. He makes some decision and things begin to turn, begin to spiral upwards. Read on with me, because he begins to celebrate the reality of a powerful, wonderful, faithful God. Listen to it now. Now he's focusing not on his problem, but on his answer. He said, your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God. You are the God who performs miracles. Somebody needs to say amen. You display your power among the people. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. I'm sure he's speaking right now about both the times when the Red Sea and the Jordan River were parted. He says, the waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and riot. They convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the sky. The earth trembled and quaked. Now, I want you to notice particularly verse 19. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Now, here's a big line. God, where were you? Though your footprints were not seen. I want to brag for a few minutes on the God of the unseen footprints. You led your hand like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. The God that we love, the God that we were worshiping today is amazing. But look at me and listen. You won't always see him. You won't even always feel him. You won't even always hear him. But that does not eliminate the fact that he's always there. He made a promise. He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's our God. That's our God. And the problem for a lot of us is that when they're in the middle of our dramas, we just can't see him. It doesn't nullify his presence. I actually get really, really worried about people who have seen God a lot, because the Bible actually tells me no man's seen God and lived. I meet some people, they see him all the time, suggest they might need to change their diet. I've never seen God. I've seen what he does. I've seen what he does. I don't always feel him, but that doesn't mean that he's not present. I've actually learned that with the maturing of my faith, I don't have to rely on feelings. I need to live by what I know, his abiding presence. Paul reminded young Timothy, he said, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:17, he said, Timothy, I need to remind you who you're serving. To the King eternal. We got it on the screen. 1 Timothy 1:17 says this. Now to the King, eternal, immortal. Oh, what's the next word? Invisible. Whoa. He's eternal. He's immortal, but he's also invisible, but he still deserves praise to the only God. Read it with me. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Though our God is unseen and often unheard, he's never inactive and he's never unjust. Never. Our God is faithful. If you want a classic example of this from the scriptures, go to the book of Esther. You know, Bible scholars at one point did not even want the book of Esther included in the canon of scripture. You know why? Because for the entire book, nobody prayed and no one used God's name. Why would you put it there? Here's why. He's eternal, he's immortal, but he's invisible. And the beauty of this book is that though you don't see him, you don't hear anybody pray to him, you don't hear anybody talking about him, his handiwork and his fingerprints are all over every scene in that book. That's our God. Oh God, where were you? He was there. If you don't know a lot about the book of Esther, it's a story of the Jews and an Old Testament version, literally, of Adolf Hitler, who wanted to wipe out that entire race, emerged. And he plotted and schemed to destroy the Jewish race. But God raised up this amazing young woman called Esther. And before you know it, things have turned around. We serve the God of the turnaround. He turned it around. And before that book is finished, the one that planned to destroy God's people is hanging on the gallows that he'd built himself to destroy them. God is able. God is powerful. But he's invisible. We're coming into Easter and the team are going to focus more and more on the person of Jesus and what we've been celebrating today. The power of the cross. How many are grateful for the cross? The power of the cross. Thank God that Jesus came. He lived and he died. But thank God he didn't only die for my sin, he rose again and we're living in the power of his victory today. Somebody say amen. It's wonderful. And when he rose again, you can only imagine what it felt like for those people that have been following Jesus all that time. He was put on the cross. They took him down, put him in a tomb, and they thought, it's over. No, it was only Friday. And as the old preacher said, but Sunday's coming and Jesus rose again. And the same spirit that raised him from the dead is working in us right now. And Jesus begins to talk to his team and they're so excited that he's risen from the dead. He says, oh, the plan hasn't changed. John 16, verse 7. Very truly I tell you, it is for, isn't this interesting, for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was speaking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is invisible. One of the types in Scripture that remind us of who he is and what he does is wind. The day of Pentecost, they heard the sound of a rushing mighty. You can't see wind. But you can see what it's doing. You can see what it's doing. And there are times when our invisible God is working in the midst of our problems by the power of his Spirit. But guess what? Somebody needs to hear this today. He's not just working to change our circumstances. He's working to change us. Oh God, why weren't you doing stuff out there? And then he says to you, listen, because I'm doing stuff in here. That's the God of the unseen footprints. And what I need to tell you today, Pneuma family, for each of us and all of us, here's the deal. If we allow and if we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, we will grow more in the tough times than we ever do in seasons of blessing. I'm somebody that loves being out on the water in my boat. And those of us that are out there a lot have a simple saying. Here it is. Smooth seas never make great sailors. When they're smooth, it's easy. You actually learn your skill and you get better at a whole lot of stuff when you've got to navigate through the tough stuff. And God is calling his church to maturity. And part of it is he doesn't always do everything for us that we want for ourselves. He's in the middle of it working, helping, making. I remember one of the most difficult times of my life was leading Youth Alive nationally, and we had a very challenging thing happen, like really challenging. My dear old dad rang me the next morning after all the news broke. He said to me, mate, I've been praying for you all night. I said, thank you. He said, I got a word for you. You're going to get through this. When you come out the other side, you're going to be a better man. You're going to be a bigger leader. And you're going to understand the grace of God like you've never understood it before. I said, it's tough. He said, of course it's tough. But this is going to make you, not break you. That's what God is at work doing, church. It's what he's at work doing. I have fond memories of being a young Christian in my dad's church. I'd just come back to Christ just after my 20th birthday. My dad had an associate pastor. His name was David. David's wife got sick, very sick. She had cancer, around 39, 40 years of age. And the church got to prayer. And we prayed and we believed. We even did that whole thing, which you do sometimes. We marched around the hospital where she was, believing for God to heal her. And she died. I've seen a lot of miracles. I saw my own dad see people raised from the dead, literally. But this lady died. A few weeks after this man and his three children had sort of processed their season of mourning, he turned up to preach. And he opened his Bible at Hebrews 11:1. And he begins to read. Now, faith. I was 21 at the most. And he begins to preach on faith. Now, faith is the what? Substance. Faith isn't airy-fairy. Faith is God substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he's beginning to preach on faith, and I'm sitting there. I'm 21, so I knew everything. I'm sitting there thinking, mate, you have no right to preach on faith. This is actually, I'm embarrassed for you. You didn't even have the faith to see your wife healed. And he's paused halfway through this message and he looks around. He said, you know, there are some of you in this room today that don't think I even have the right to preach on faith. So I looked around to see who that could possibly be. He said, the reason is you have an immature view of faith. You think faith is getting everything you want. That's not faith. Faith is getting up the morning after your world has fallen apart, dusting yourself off, wiping away the tears, raising your hand and saying, my God, you're still on the throne. That's real faith. That's real faith. That's why Hebrews encourages us to look to Jesus. Why? He's the author and the... I don't always feel him. I don't always hear him. I've never seen him. But he's never let me down. He's never let me down. As the worship team start to join us here on stage, I'm reminded of a moment. It was actually my birthday, January 23rd. I just happened to turn on the news, 1999, and I saw a press conference with a lady by the name of Gladys Staines. She was a missionary to India. And she's fronting the world's press the morning after her husband and two sons in a nation that they had served for a long, long time had just murdered those three special men in her life. They surrounded the car they were sleeping in and burned it. And they died. And I remember facing the press and secular press are asking her questions. Somebody said, what are you going to do now? What's the future for you? And I'll never ever, this is 26 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. One of the greatest statements of faith I've ever heard, she said, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds my future. It's the God of the unseen footprints. You know what he says? You mightn't hear me, feel me, see me, but would you just trust me? Would you lift your eyes off the stuff that only gives you just a more dark soul? Would you lift your eyes up? The author and finisher of your faith, because in him there's holiness, in him there's purity, in him there's nothing but light. Our God is light and life. So my assignment today is to remind you that your God loves you. He's working for you. And even when you can't see him, he asks you to trust him. This church is one of the great churches that knows how to worship God in this nation. But can I encourage you not just to worship? Can I encourage you to worship him? Get lost in him. Lift your eyes up and behold him, because in beholding him, we become more like him. Would you stand and let me pray for you today? Open your hands to Him. I sense the Holy Spirit's at work in this moment right now. Some of us are stressed. Some of us are going through a tough time. Some of us need a miracle. In your location right now, just join us as a family. Open our hearts to the Lord. Some of us just need to cast our cares on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. I didn't feel you in that tough time. He's still there. Faithful is He who's called you. Some of us are just so wound up tight with stress and anxiety. And it's going to get worse if you continue to look at the stuff. You look to Him and He'll show you how to walk through the stuff. Some of us in our own bodies right now, we need a miracle. We don't deny the prognosis, but we look to the great physician right now. We look to the great physician. And if God, right now, God is just speaking to you right where you stand. Say, God, I need you in this moment. I need you. I've been caught up in the darkness. I want to look to you, the God of light. I've been captured by my pain and my problems, but I need your healing work. Just raise both of those hands to heaven right now. All across this room, tell Him what you want. Bible tells me to make my requests known to God. Come to Him as a child. Tell Him what it is. Tell Him what, in every location, tell Him what it is right now. Holy Spirit, come. Bible is very clear where two or three of us agree about things. He responds. We agree here on earth and He begins to respond from heaven. So I agree with you for your miracle. I agree for you, my friend, for peace that passes all understanding. I agree for you and I agree with you. If you've been caught up in negativity and you've lost your joy, I pray for you. There's an impartation right now of joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. I pray for you to take your eyes off the what is visible and look to and open your heart to the work of a God who is invisible but very real and very powerful. Holy Spirit, come. Begin to worship Him. Begin to tell Him how much you need Him. Just be telling Him how much you need Him right now. Receive what He, come on. There are miracles that can happen right here, right now. According to your faith, be it unto you, the Bible says. Come on, don't wait for you to feel a certain thing or hear a certain thing. You do business with your Heavenly Father because you're His child. Healing is the children's bread right now. He has joy for you. I pray you be baptized again in the Holy Ghost and with joy right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Come in your power, Lord, right now. Come in your power. The ministry team are here, and as Joel and the team lead us in a worship song in a moment, I don't get to preach too many times, but I'm going to tell you something. Every time we come, I'm believing for it to be meaningful. I believe in every time we come as a family, I want to see God do miracles in your life. I believe He wants to do miracles for your family. I believe He's not only going to do a miracle in this church, this church is going to be a miracle in Jesus' name. Be a miracle in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. And in a moment, I'm going to say, if you need prayer, particularly if you're sick, and particularly if you've been caught in the grip of anxiety, stress, and depression, we're going to minister to you. Oh, I sense authority on that moment. I sense faith on that moment to break the power of those things that have bound you and hold you dark and down. But before we do that, if you need a miracle, you just keep doing business with God, saying, God, I'm ready. Don't wait for the prayer people to do their thing. You come ready to receive and just to believe impartation. In Jesus' name, miracles. But before we do that, wherever you're watching, whether you're in this room or in another location, I'm going to ask you this very, very, very important question. Are you going through stuff that's bigger than you? Are you dealing with stuff in your past that's built a platform in your life of shame and regret? You keep looking at that stuff, it's going to hold you anchored to a spot and you'll never move on. But all morning we've been singing about a God who loved us so much that He sent His Son to break the power of our past, wash us clean. The Bible actually uses words like being born again. It's that radical, like it's being born again. And there are people in this room today, you came because you were searching. and you know you need God. And for the first time in your life, or maybe you've been away way too long, first time in a long time, you're saying, God, like that guy that wrote that psalm, I've been caught up in stuff, but I'm making a decision right now. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look to you because I need you. I don't know everything about you, God. Way from that. But I do know I need you in my life to bring the power of my past and give me a future worth living. And if for the first time in your life, or the first time in a long, long time, you're saying, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Place your hand on your heart. Pastor Joe's going to come in a moment, and he's going to help you, and he's going to help you know how this church is going to support you. But here's what the church can't do. Make a decision for you. So it's you and God. That psalmist made some decisions that affected his life. You're going to make a decision saying, God, I'm stepping across the line. Don't know everything about you, but oh, I need you to come and change my life from the inside out. If that's you, place your hand on your heart right now. Wherever you're watching this, in every location here in the city, with your hand on your heart, I pray for you that you would know God's love. I pray that you would know His forgiveness. I pray that you would know His acceptance that accepts you just the way you are. But I pray He would work in you and not leave you the way you are. Pray to set you free, launch you into an amazing future with Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, as their guide from this time forward. We all agreed. Come on, worship the Lord as we get ready to bring this service to a close. Come on.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.